The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and joining us today is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Good morning, Janet. Well, maybe she's not there yet. All right, maybe she's calling in right now. Let's see. And, while we're waiting for Janet, sometimes I can't help myself. I want to talk a little bit politics. Yesterday was the Academy Awards. And, Janet, you there?
I am here. Okay. Good morning, Dr. Slavin. Sorry, I just had a little issue getting through. Okay. Here I am.
I'm going to make a little political statement. So yesterday I was saying where the Academy Awards, which I have to tell you I did not watch.
Because you did not watch them because?
Well, I didn't find it very interesting. What I was thinking about, they made a big deal about who got nominated and who didn't. If we're supposed to be a colorless society, why do we always bring color into everything? So the one statement I wanted to make is, I bet you there were a lot more white people that weren't nominated. Okay. So I just, think people have to think of it in those terms, A lot of people work in Hollywood. I bet you a lot more white people weren't nominated that thought they should have been, too.
I so disagree, Dr. Slavin. I think that, that a huge percentage of a very talented segment of our population was ignored. And I believe that the ignoring took place not necessarily knowingly with malice. I don't believe that it's with malice. I just don't think that there's full consciousness there. That's how I will leave it.
only because you're putting a skin color standard to everything.
I'm putting a percentage of the population standard to it.
Well, I don't think, everything doesn't operate in that way, that, because there's a certain percentage, then therefore, 20% of the people. I think that would be, the wrong approach.
I said the talented people that are part of a certain percentage of our total population. So I believe that there are everybody was talented that was nominated, and I do believe that some people's talents were ignored, not necessarily out of malice, but out of unconsciousness, unconscious behavior, kind of ingrained unconscious behavior.
All right, enough said.
Okay.
You've heard our positions on that. I just think that, when I left New York, Brooklyn specifically, 1981, they had a policy for the schools after I finished going to college where it was no longer based on merit. You know, so what did that do? You know, it's again creating a false standard. You know, if you expect people going to college because they're the smartest, you know, that's what we all expect. But they changed that standard. And it no longer had to be that you had to be smart to go to college. You had to be either a minority or they had some other standards that had nothing to do with how intelligent you are. And I don't think that's the the system was meant to work.
Okay, and we have a disagreement on this, Dr. Slavin, as well. I believe that a lot of the curriculum that is part of our expected schooling is very much slanted. I think that there are a lot of very talented and intelligent, highly intelligent people who are in an economically disadvantaged part of our society, and that when kids go home from school and they don't have food in their stomachs, when they don't have someone there who can support them, encourage them, inspire them, and help them with their homework, a lot of times they just fall farther and farther behind, unfortunately, in our schools, and the school systems don't have any ability to there's no safety net there for those intelligent kids who are not able to keep up in school for a variety of reasons. Suppose you didn't get enough sleep. Suppose you came to school without breakfast. Suppose you came to school or went home from school where you didn't have anybody who was able to support you because the adults in the house were at work. So in my opinion, we maybe those actions, the affirmative actions that went into place after you finished school were the attempt to try to change this situation. And I agree that by the time you get to college, probably not a reasonable area to try to fix it. Where we need to fix it is in preschool and kindergarten.
Well, I'm glad you finally came around to that point. In other words, you want to address the underlying cause of the problem, not just treat the symptom. You know, so you put more kids in college and it makes it look good, but you didn't treat the symptom, the underlying cause of the problem.
Isn't that what we do here on Natural Doc Radio?
Well, that's where I'm coming from, across the board. You know, you treat the underlying cause. You don't just, make it look good. Okay, we have more minorities in college, even though they haven't been properly educated and trained. So what the solution is, you properly educate them and train them and create better schools for them. And that's what needs to be done. You don't just make it look good on the surface.
And I'm not necessarily just talking about minorities. I'm talking about economically disadvantaged. So.
No, understood, but I was saying get rid of the economically disadvantaged. But you don't do that by just pushing kids ahead. I think you just perpetuate the problem instead of creating an environment where they can, improve themselves. So now that we've gotten that off our chest, over the years, a lot of people have asked me how come I seem to be going against the medical establishment. And I think the answer is the medical establishment is going against science, going against published studies in an attempt to get their own way as far as how they, in this case we're talking about healthcare, how they want to practice healthcare. And by getting their own way, I mean, what is their own way? Their own way is addressing health care as a drug deficiency. You know, that's their own way, despite the fact that you can't find any studies that show that health problems are a drug deficiency. But that's what they want everybody to believe. So there are a couple of things I want to bring up. And we'll start off with this about the Gardasil vaccine. Now, if you've listened to the program before, you know, Janet and I are basically against vaccines because we haven't seen an honest reflection of the real safety profile with it, number one. Number two, the real necessity of them and the real efficacy of them. You know, the Gardasil vaccine is given primarily to young girls to prevent, well, they say it's to prevent cervical cancer. But it's really a vaccine against a few of the strains of the human papillomavirus that are associated with that, with abnormal pap tests and that virus that may lead to cervical cancer. So they bring out, and this is what they do all the time. So, okay, they got you scared now, you know, that, about cervical cancer. And then the vaccine comes out. It was licensed in 2006. And there's a new problem that's been talked about and associated, you know, in association with the vaccines. And the new one with the Gardasil vaccine is the risk of premature ovarian failure. So what that means is your ovaries stop functioning and you go into menopause early. So typically, they say the average years that a woman may go into menopause range between 35 and 55. I thought it used to be 45 to 55, but they actually lowered it, 35 to 55. So if you have premature ovarian failure, that means you're going into menopause before the age of 35. So I guess you never can you never can predict these things can happen when you only test the safety of a vaccine for a short period of time. So just something else to keep in mind. Just to remember that the HPV is a sexually transmitted disease, and there are other ways of dealing with that potential problem than a vaccine. Janet, time for a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and with me is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Have you ever heard of someone going to see the doctor for a checkup or a sore throat or some common complaint, and in that visit they were diagnosed with a much more serious issue? The story I remember is the one about someone taking blood tests before cosmetic surgery, and those blood tests saved the life of the patient by discovering colon cancer. So don't be surprised. Come to Advanced Medical Testing for comprehensive testing to assure wellness. Call 754-216-2332 to schedule an appointment and get the information you need about advanced medical testing, or visit amtcenters.com. That's 754-216-2332. Or amtcenters.com.
Janet Cimarelli is a licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. Are you in search of the fountain of youth, trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Through her remote counseling sessions, she works with many clients to help them manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She can help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. She offers sessions through telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she provides you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at janetcimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and joining us is Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. And we just passed along some new information about the Gardasil vaccine, how it may be associated with premature ovarian failure. Now I'd like to pass along some information about, it's not new information, it's just information that was really never discussed in its proper scientific perspective. And that's about eggs. You know, I wonder how many people are still sticking to the egg whites and avoiding the egg yolk.
Far too many, unfortunately. Lots of the people that I talk to are avoiding egg yolks and shrimp because they're high in cholesterol.
Well, the shrimp and lobster and... I don't know, crab, maybe they had that in the same category. That was a mistake they made a long time ago. They actually made a lot of mistakes. Oh, well, but the question, are they mistakes or is it deliberate misinformation? That's the real question. For example, with the egg yolk, they knew what the egg yolk was. It was a great source. By the way, these things are not found in the egg white. Of vitamins A, D, E, and K, along with the omega-3 fats. It was a good source, as well as lutein and zeaxanthin. So, I mean, the egg yolk was actually a healthy food. I think we've always said, you know, eat the whole egg. The only thing we're going to say is eat the whole egg if it comes from the right chicken. And that's a chicken that's, you know, been fed the right foods. It's pastured, free range chickens that aren't given hormones or antibiotics. And then you have a good food source. And of course,
it's very important for people to understand that the yolks of the egg are very high in sulfur as well. Sulfur being a trace mineral that is very important and supporting your overall immune system response. The other component in the yolk of the egg is lecithin. Such a high quality lecithin, and it is very, very much a fat emulsifier. The fat emulsifier making it very easy for your body to access the beneficial fatty acids in the egg yolks.
Well, think about this. If eating cholesterol doesn't raise cholesterol levels, what did they tell people to do in order to lower their cholesterol? They said avoid eating cholesterol foods and switch to the foods that raise cholesterol levels.
They say a low-fat diet, and unfortunately, I'm still seeing people come to me when their doctor has told them a low-fat diet along with this statin drug.
Right. The low-fat diet is the diet that raises your cholesterol. So they're telling you, eat the diet that raises your cholesterol and then come to me for a cholesterol-lowering drug. Was that all a mistake? So, you know, one of the healthiest foods happen to be those that are rich in cholesterol. But it all started back in the 1950s when there was some research came out by Ansel Keys, Ph.D., and it was flawed. And I don't know if they knew it was flawed at the time or now they're just rereading the research and all of a sudden they're discovering it was flawed. The cholesterol, you know, cholesterol has many benefits, which we've talked about. And, you know, one of its... I guess major benefits, it plays a central role in your brain. Now, if you lower cholesterol with statins, and maybe this is why you get the side effect with statins, one of the side effects is cognitive impairment. You know, maybe there's a connection there. Cholesterol is necessary to make all your hormones. It plays actually an important role in every cell in your body. But most importantly, people should understand that eating a cholesterol-rich diet does not lead to elevated cholesterol. Your body makes 80% of the cholesterol. 20% comes from the diet. What raises cholesterol is a high carbohydrate diet.
A high carbohydrate diet, which is one of the very, very big components of the standard American diet, that SAD diet that we refer to so often here on Natural Doc Radio. One of the things that I want to go back to, Dr. Slavin, is the Gardasil vaccine that you were mentioning just before the break. And one of the reasons that women tend to have an abnormal pap smear is a very significantly suppressed antioxidant status. So the very vitamins that you mentioned that are lowered when you avoid eating the egg yolks, vitamin A, E, D, K, and then I threw in the sulfur. So all of those substances are so supportive of maintaining a healthy immune function, superior antioxidant status. What is one of the things that contributes to abnormal pap smears and below optimal antioxidant status? And it is oral contraceptives. So many of those oral contraceptives tend to interfere not only with overall hormone function, but very much the function of hormones that affect the health of the cervix and minimize the opportunity for antioxidant nutrients to do their job. So high-quality organic eggs and eating the whole eggs are going to give you some of that antioxidant protection, and the sulfur going to give you immune support to maintain a healthy cervix and minimize the possibility that you would have an abnormal pap smear, minimize the possibility that the human papilloma virus would find a happy home on your cervical tissue. Then when you take this whole picture into consideration and think about the impact that statin class cholesterol-lowering drugs have on your immune system and your hormones and your memory, you see that we have an absolute recipe for disaster in Americans' overall health status.
I think there's just one other point that has to be mentioned, is that the birth control pills, like you said, undermine your nutritional status, is only effective in preventing pregnancy, not in preventing sexually transmitted diseases as well. So, you know, people have to remember that.
Very important point. People need to understand that.
So, but anyway, I don't know, we find one issue after another issue of disinformation being put out there, only years later having to be retracted, and we wonder why it was put out in the first place. I think that's, that's what we have to say. And it's put out there because there are some other motives. It's not just lack of information or lack of science. Just to give you an example, there was a study done in South Carolina, and they found no correlation between blood cholesterol levels with so-called, quote, bad dietary habits. In other words, what they're calling bad dietary habits, the consumption of red meat, animal fats, butter, eggs, whole milk, bacon, sausage, and cheese. So no association with elevated blood cholesterol levels. Another one. The consumption of more than 6 eggs per week also does not increase your risk of stroke and ischemic stroke, or for instance. But I want to just say one thing. If you're going to cook an egg, I think it's better to cook it in the absence of oxygen. And by that I mean you poach it, you hard boil it or soft boil it. Because there have been studies showing that when you cook eggs in the presence of oxygen, you're oxidizing the cholesterol, and that may be an issue. So I think if you can eat a lot of eggs, you know, that would be a better choice. Janet, no comment on that?
Okay. Oh, that's a hard one for me, Dr. Slavin. It's interesting to me because some of the people that I speak to, invariably, they tell me, how do they cook their eggs? They cook them scrambled. And I understand the oxidation. I understand that danger, that whole picture. But a lot of people are not going to eat their eggs if they're poaching them. They've probably never had a poached egg, and they might have a viewpoint against it. And so... So there is a little device that you can get in the small appliance department of the department stores, and it's an egg cooker. And so it will cook the eggs in a number of different ways that do not expose the yolk to oxygen, and it isn't scrambled. The other thing is, suppose you cooked your egg in a very, very little bit, let's say a spray olive oil or a little bit, very, very little bit of high-quality butter, very, very low heat with a cover on the pan. That, too, is possibly another way for people who have not experimented with how to cook their eggs and tend to go for scrambled. Those are some options. I think a lot of people just figure that the scrambled is easier. They scramble in vegetables with the eggs. So a lot of possibilities for experimentation.
Well, Janet, believe it or not, the best way to eat an egg is raw. Now, I remember, you know, growing up, my mother would make me a drink every morning. It was warm milk and honey with a raw egg in it. And these days, you know, I remember also used to go out and have a Caesar salad, and they put a raw egg in making the Caesar salad. Now, everybody's afraid to do that.
Well, they're afraid to do it because of the unhealthy conditions that most commercial chickens are maintained in. And consequently, you very, very much want to be using organically raised, free-range eggs from hens that are organically maintained and free-range.
Because you don't have those problems when you buy the right eggs. Time for another break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine introduces holistic and comprehensive ways to maintain your health, maintain your energy and immunity, your flexibility and your wellness. The team of specialists at the Institute of Advanced Medicine offer all the services to enhance and support all categories of function, health, and well-being. You can call 954-748-4991 to make an appointment today. 954-748-4991.
This is Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin and with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Janet, I want to jump back for a second to when we were talking about the Gardasil vaccine, which is a vaccine against the human papillomavirus, because I wanted to see what's being done to help prevent the spread of the vaccine. And so I was curious. Well, I mean, spread of the virus, not the vaccine. Probably we should prevent the spread of the vaccine.
Yeah, we should. That's kind of what we're doing here.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
But, so I know that there's a test. When a woman goes for a pap test, you can, at the same time, you can check them to see if they have HPV. But I was curious to see if they had a test for men to see who are the carriers, because I'm pretty sure women get the virus from men and men get the virus from women, but they don't have a test for men. So is it another example how mainstream medicine works? They're not really directing their efforts in preventing a disease spread. They're directing their efforts at detecting the disease with the HPV test, so then they can start initiating treatments for that. Their way of prevention is with vaccination, but I think there could be much more effective ways without risk. You know, there are potential risks with the vaccine, not with doing a test to see who's carrying the virus.
Dr. Slavin, they are recommending, this is a very half-hearted and ill-advised way of addressing the very issue that you just brought up. They are suggesting that teenage boys also receive the Gardasil vaccine. And the truth of the matter is we're spreading this vaccine across a wide swath of our population. We know that it is going to affect hormonal status. We know that it has a range of potentially very serious side effects. And yet that vaccine continues to be offered by pediatricians to their teenage patients. It's a very, very sad situation. And parents really do need to be educated. And the education is going to come by your own investigation. So you really need to look into what are the potential side effects of that Gardasil vaccine.
Now, I'm just, thinking about how vaccines have been used in the past for purposes other than what they're intended to be used for. So what happens when a woman has premature ovarian failure? That means they can't have kids. So could that be a way of population control?
I know it certainly looks that way.
I mean, we're going out on a ledge here, but we've seen that before. Remember when we talked about the tetanus virus that was associated deliberately with human chorionic gonadotropin, which is essential for maintaining a pregnancy in women. But when you got the tetanus vaccine, your body made antibodies to HCG along with it, so those women could not sustain a pregnancy. So it's not like I'm way off base here. It's just that the vaccine manufacturers seem to have done things like this in the past. So, I think people who are getting these vaccines, and this is not just for this vaccine, really should do their homework and, look up what all the possible risks you're taking when you get the vaccine, and then decide for yourself if you're willing to take that risk. For example, is it worth taking the risk of, some of the other problems associated with the vaccine, including death, because there have been deaths reported from the vaccine, versus practicing safe sex? You know, no side effects from that. So just a thought. So, okay, now let's jump back to what we're talking about, eggs, how eggs are an excellent food, but you want to get the right eggs, meaning free range or pastured organic eggs. And then you have a great food and you don't have to worry about it raising your cholesterol because it doesn't. What you do have to worry about is eating too many carbohydrates. Now, a lot of people...
Yes. Dr. Slavin, not eggs and toast, eggs and vegetables, not eggs and toast or potatoes or grits, but eggs and possibly another protein. So many different combinations, but not the combinations that typically Americans have been told to make with their eggs. Very important.
Well, and Jenna, here's another point. They did a study comparing the nutritional value in commercial eggs with the eggs from hens raised on pasture, and found that the pastured eggs, you know, the ones that are coming from hens that have been feeding their natural diet, not caged, a free range, they had 2 to 3 times more vitamin A. They had 2 times more omega-3 fatty acids, 3 times more vitamin E, and 7 times more beta-carotene. So perhaps on a nutritional basis, the organic free-range eggs are less expensive if you want to count the nutritional content that you get.
Some people might be really afraid to hear that because they have been told that vitamin A can be toxic. Toxic accumulations of fat-soluble nutrients in your liver. So they're very, very concerned about taking fat-soluble vitamin A. Instead, they've been told take beta-carotene. Maybe they've also been told take, 400 IUs of vitamin D. Dr. Slavin, what do you think?
Well, you know, we test for all these things. I've never seen anybody with a high level of vitamin A. So, you know, I think it's disinformation. I think people with high levels of vitamin A may turn out to be healthier.
Very, now, very important. And so supporting your vitamin A and your vitamin D level, both of them fat-soluble nutrients, but so important. So you have a highly functional immune response. You're not so vulnerable to viruses, bacteria, and any infectious substance. And then, of course, there's vitamin K that has been so neglected. And again, an issue with people who have been told to take a blood thinning medication, Coumadin or warfarin, something like that. Stay away from your green leafy vegetables. You don't want that vitamin K content. It's going to cause abnormal blood clotting. So here are 3 crucially important nutrients that the medical community has been warning people away from.
All right. And one last thing. You can tell the difference between a commercial egg and a pastured egg or a free range. Well, let's just say a healthy egg. Because the yolk of a commercial egg is that pale yellow, and the color of the yolk of a healthy egg is a bright orange color. So I don't think too many of us have had the opportunity to see what a bright orange egg yolk really looks like.
Too many of us have not had the opportunity to taste what a really high-quality egg tastes like. So as Dr. Slavin said, certainly taking a look at the intense color of the yolk in a high quality egg, one that is from a hen pastured and with access to outdoors, not in a cage, very good quality food, typical food that chickens would prefer. And so using those high quality eggs, the taste and the look is dramatically different.
Now, Jen, I just want to go back to that Gardasil vaccine. The women who are experiencing the premature ovarian failure when they've had the vaccine are actually teenagers. So it really doesn't take too long to create the problem. And here's a problem with the way they conducted the safety trials before the vaccine was actually licensed. Besides the vaccine, there are two other ingredients, polysorbate 80 and aluminum in the vaccine. So when they tested the vaccine against the placebo, the placebo included the aluminum and the polysorbate 80. So therefore, if you were getting any side effects from those two ingredients, you wouldn't pick it up because the placebo and the test group had this, those two ingredients. They would, so this would minimize any negative effects from the virus or the from the vaccine, that is. So just another thought, how they plan these studies to reduce any signs of a problem by having the placebo group getting a very similar injection, except for the virus, they're getting all the other ingredients. So they're not even testing for the effects of the other ingredients. So that's a new one with the Gardasil vaccine. Teenagers are experiencing premature ovarian failure. So
very sad situation. Now, where did that information come from? Because it certainly didn't make front page news in any of the media outlets that I subscribe to.
Okay, well, in the places, you know, I look, I came across it. I think it may have first come out around January 29th.
Wow.
Came out, the American College of Pediatricians issued the warning against the vaccine that has been approved by the FDA and CDC. So what's going on here? You know, I mean, why are they approving dangerous vaccines? So just
it doesn't seem as though the safety of the patient is kept in mind. There seems to be some other motivation. It's very, very interesting because the FDA certainly has approved the use of polysorbate 80, polyethylene glycol, because I see them in very, very poor quality supplements all the time. So there's a long list of objectionable ingredients, but the FDA is turning a blind eye to those ingredients.
Well, they say here that none of the trials before the safety trials were long-term, and none of them looked at ovarian function. So here's what's where the latest on this is. Despite the concerns of the College of Pediatricians and the need for additional studies on the controversial HPV vaccine, the American Cancer Society in the state of Rhode Island is still backing the vaccine. The American Cancer Society released a statement shortly after the College of Pediatricians voiced their concerns, telling people to get the vaccine and pushing for higher rates of Gardasil use. The Mayo Clinic has also joined them in their push for more girls to get the controversial HPV vaccine. It's unclear if the American Cancer Society was aware of the recent concerns or not. Now, again, and this goes for anything, if there's a question of whether something is safe or not, why don't you not use it? Because there are certainly other ways to protect yourself against the human papillomavirus that won't put you at risk. Time for another break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and we'll be back right after this.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
Are you looking for expert advice on improving your health? You want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule consultations with me, Janet Cimarelli, at janetcimarelli.com. I'm a licensed nutrition counselor, and I specialize in the field of natural foods and supplements. I offer consultations with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. I'll educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. I will include information on overcoming allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with me, and I'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health. Visit JanetCimarelli.com and tune in to hear me on Natural Doc Radio here on WNN, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. So we've covered a few topics this morning, the Gardasil vaccine and how it's now been reported that it's associated with premature ovarian failure. What that means is that you have teenage girls going into menopause, basically is what that means. Then you have, we were talking about cholesterol. Eating cholesterol does not raise your cholesterol levels. Despite probably over 50 years of disinformation has told you. And in fact, it goes beyond that because they say don't eat cholesterol foods. But the foods they told you to eat are exactly the foods that do raise your cholesterol. And that's the sugar and carbohydrates. So you know what happens if you stop eating the sugar and carbohydrates? Your cholesterol goes down. And the drug companies can't sell as many statin drugs. That's a $1 billion industry. But more importantly, if you cut back on carbohydrates and sugar, you get healthier. So, I mean, that should be the real incentive for doing it.
Very and people to understand that certainly the medical community might not necessarily be guiding you with their recommendations and information, guiding you toward health. They're guiding you to create a situation where you will need medical services. You will need pharmaceuticals. So important that you keep your top priorities in mind, which would be maintain very good health, evaluate what your risk factors might be, and take the informed steps to overcome those risk factors. Every one of us has a risk possibly in their genetic background, their family history, in your diet and lifestyle choices. And step by step, we have the information here on Natural Doc Radio to help you make those changes that lead to good health.
Now, Jenna, here's another topic that I never really gave much thought to. I wonder if you have. Basically, it says that some foods were never meant to be heated at all, while other foods can release poisonous, cancer-causing compounds when heated a second time. So I really never thought about, you know, when I'm reheating food, you know, are there any potential problems with that?
Okay, so potential problems, do you have a list of those foods? And I'll make some comments. I think that there are lots of different foods out there that lend themselves to be eaten raw. And a lot of times people kind of make a face when I suggest eating some of these things in their raw state. What's on the list, Dr. Slavin?
Okay, well, I think this is probably everybody hopefully is aware of this. Reheating any food using microwave radiation is a surefire way to destroy the food's natural chemistry, its enzymes, and overall usefulness to the body. If one does decide to reheat leftovers, it's best to use a conventional oven that warms the food slowly. Using a microwave saves time but quickly destroys the food's natural properties.
Okay. More and more people that I speak with, I'm talking to them about removing microwaved food from their daily routines. And it's interesting because I'm starting to get some feedback now. And the feedback is that people are so surprised they're not saving all that much time with their microwave. And a lot of times they'll discuss with me, well, what about just heating my water for tea? I say, well, keep some water in a kettle on top of your stove. You'll be very, very surprised at how quickly your tea is ready and you're doing a much better quality tea with the kettle heated water.
Okay, here's another point they make, that spinach, beets, radishes, and celery should never be reheated. In fact, these foods were really meant to be eaten raw in the first place. But when you reheat these vegetables, the nitrates within them break down into nitrites. And then suddenly you've converted a healthy food into a food that has that may be toxic to the body because of the reheating. The other point is, these vegetables contain a lot of important nutrients, including vitamin A, C, K, folate, calcium, and magnesium. And they should never be reheated because they then have the potential to release cancer-causing nitrosamines into the body, which can adversely affect oxygen uptake in the blood.
So that will help a lot of the clients that I work with, that they're talking about how messy it is to cook their beets. Okay, so just wash the beets and then do a shredder. And what I tell people is put a bowl in your sink and shred in your sink directly into the bowl. Beets tend to splatter dark red beet juice all over, and this way you're going to keep it in your sink. Very, very easy cleanup.
You know, and I'm thinking those are ingredients that I would include in a salad, you know, spinach, beets, radishes, and celery. I'm not sure why people want to cook them in any way.
Well, celery, cooked celery, when you simmer it and then add vegetable broth as a base, along with onions and carrots and other vegetables, they make a very, very tasty base to your soup.
All right. Well, here's another one about reheating foods and how it might affect the protein structure in the food. And now we're talking about chicken. When reheated, the structure of the proteins change. So experts are suggesting when you reheat chicken, do it on low heat for a longer period of time to keep the proteins intact.
And I'm going to say that that is a very, very good suggestion with regard to anything you're reheating. You don't want to do it very, very fast at high heat. In general, high heat is going to create a problem from a lot of different viewpoints. Okay, so if we've lost the doctor, that means it's just me here talking all by myself. We're talking about how to get the best nutrient content when you're reheating foods. Number one,
helps you feel full. But when you reheat the potatoes, they lose their properties as the starch is diminished. So instead of reheating potatoes, probably best not to use them at all. So I just thought a couple of important points there. Now, I just have a couple of minutes left. And just want to remind everybody, you know, the foods that should be avoided because they're absolutely unnecessary to consume. We talked about sugar. More importantly, high fructose corn syrup, very important, as well as artificial sweeteners. In fact, they've done studies. The artificial sweeteners don't help you lose weight. MSG, another thing you should avoid. It's an excitotoxin You know, it's been associated, by the way, with learning disabilities, but also with Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's disease, Lou Gehrig's, MSG. So when you go to that Chinese restaurant, make sure they're not using MSG. Now, I think the real cause of the cholesterol and heart disease epidemic was not the cholesterol itself. It was the synthetic trans fats. So the trans fats are found in margarine, vegetable shortening, partially hydrogenated vegetable oils. So they promote inflammation and actually behind most chronic and serious diseases. So you want to avoid trans fats. They've been linked to stroke, cancer, diabetes, decreased immune function, reproductive problems, heart disease, and more. So, you know, recently, I think it was back in 2015, the FDA announced that partially hydrogenated oils, and that's where the trans fats come from, will no longer be allowed in food due to their health risks. Now, but here's the thing you have to know. In order to get around that, so to speak, I think if they had less than, I think it's 1% trans fats, they would say zero trans fats, so trans fat free. But the other way they did this was instead of a serving size, a usual serving size, they made the serving size very small so they can keep to that. So you have to know where your trans fats are coming from. Another important thing to avoid, totally unnecessary, but you need to be aware that 15 million pounds of artificial food dyes are added to U.S. food every year. You know, food dyes don't come naturally. You know, if you buy and eat a natural diet, in other words, real food, you don't get